All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Everyone, and welcome to a brand new edition of Word Bros. My name is Bob. Hello and welcome.
I'm Kevin.
And this week we have a very exciting show. Rafer Roberts is here. You know him from all of his fantastic work at Valiant Comics. He has a new book coming out called Modern Fantasy. Yes. Yeah.
It looks great.
Guys. Yeah, it looks really cool, man. I'm excited to talk to him about it. Kevin got this guest. Kevin be getting all the guests, man. You a guest ghetto.
I mean, I try and get us people to talk to.
Yeah, you met this dude last year at Heroes, yes?
Yes, I did. And he was next to us. So yeah, we ended up talking the whole day.
That's why I'm going to Heroes, just to see Kevin meet lots of people, because every time I go to a show with Kevin, we don't meet nobody. Kevin goes by himself. Kevin meets the whole fucking world.
That's true. I do meet a lot of people when I go by myself.
Who did you meet last week at
AwesomeCon? I went to AwesomeCon, yeah. So I met Sean Gordon Murphy.
Sean Gordon Murphy. Like, Kevin texted me and said, yeah, I'm going to dinner with Sean Gordon Murphy. I was like, what the how? And he's like, oh, Christian DeBarry knows him, who we're going to have on the show soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I talked to him about that, yeah. So Chris and I, like, long story short, Chris and I are, we've been told we look alike, and that's how we kind of became friends with people who were asking me if I've ever been told I look like Christian DeBarry. I had no idea what Christian looked like. And then we became friends kind of that way, or we kind of knew each other before that, but then people would say that we looked alike. I think we knew each other for a little bit before that, but we became better friends.
Yeah.
And the idea that people kept on joking that we looked a lot alike. So Chris and I have never met. We've only talked online and been friendly online. And so we've always said we were going to meet one day.
Face
and so,
to face, bro, for like a wrestling match, and the winner has to change their face.
I mean, that would be like a Nick Cage, John Travolta movie. That would be amazing, but like, no, that's not what happened.
No, that'd have been cool.
I kept on joking that you can't meet your doppelganger, and we're each other's doppelganger. So now the whole universe is unraveling. So,
oh, like, cool! Like, just in time.
Yeah. Right. So, but Chris knew Sean Gordon Murphy, and so he happened to be around.
So you just got to kick it with Sean Gordon Murphy
for a little while. Yeah. That's awesome. It's not like I was like his best friend at the end.
No, of course not. But I mean, you can still at least.
Yeah. I shook his hand and met him, and he called me, like, that's where the DeBarry 2.0 came from.
You can claim to know him and be like, oh, that's my man's in them. And then
I wouldn't do that either, cause it wasn't like that, but he was really nice. I will say, like, being like how big he is, and if you guys think about comics and think about Sean Gordon Murphy, he's freaking huge in comics.
Yeah.
And like, he was super, super nice and super cool. He was like, you know, what are you drinking? I'll buy you a drink. And I was like, I got to drive home, but I appreciate it. Like, so he was super.
He's like, hey, I'll buy you a car. Don't worry about it. I got you.
He didn't say that. He said, I'll buy you a drink. And that would have been awesome if you said he'd buy me a car. That would have been great. I would have got a new car right there.
I'll pay for your taxi.
It would have been like Oprah.
Yeah. You get a Sean Gordon Murphy car.
You get a car.
Yes. You get a Sean Gordon Murphy car. Well, that's awesome.
So he was super nice. Yeah.
Stephanie. That's why I'm doing Heroes this year. Because I'm doing Heroes for two reasons. One, because I told Drew, our buddy Drew Moss, that I wanted to go to the show, and he said if I go, he'll cry, so I want to see Drew cry. And the second reason is I want to see who Kevin knows, because he knows everybody, and I know when I hang out with you, we ain't gonna meet no fucking buddy, because that's how it works. But,
I don't know everybody. Like, everybody kind of like knows who I am because I'm always around,
because you're a stud.
That has nothing to do with that.
Everybody's like, this guy's the best dude ever. What does he write? I have no idea, but he's just
he's at every con, but I have no idea what he does. He does something. he does something with comics, but I don't know what. I don't
even know. He knows everybody. It's so odd.
Isn't that guy Christian Dabari? The only reason why I meet people.
Well, that's enough talk about Christian Dabari, who I'm sure is wonderful, and we'll find out soon because we're going to have him on the pod. But let's talk to another one of Kevin Cuff's dear friends, who he met a couple years ago at Heroes. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Rafer Roberts.
Nice intro.
Yeah, man, I'm great.
You are?
Okay, good. Had to turn it off speaker. It's working really weird.
But you have reached us through the internet portal, and you are now on Word Bros. We welcome Rafer Roberts. Hello, Rafer.
Hello.
Now, you are like Mr. Valiant Comics, huh? You do everything over there.
Nothing current. I had been doing a couple of things.
Oh, okay, but... so now all my preparation is gone now. I got nothing, so I'm done.
But he's muted again.
Is that my face?
There you go.
There?
Yes.
You're good.
All right.
I still hear you. I just don't see you anymore. What'd you do? Covered up with like a napkin or something?
Oh, I'm just talking into the phone.
Okay.
This technology thing, man. I don't know.
Now, are you actually like a technophobe like Kevin, or are you just having technical difficulties with Zoom?
I have never used Zoom before in my life.
I prefer Zoom as a podcaster. Okay. It's nice because it records everything in app, which is very nice. So I don't have to like play Hitchcock and piece 9 pieces of audio together to get one coherent interview. So it's very nice this way. Yeah. Because I ain't got time for that, man. When you podcast for free, Jack, I ain't got time to be spending all days and nights trying to piece together audio.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's
different.
Just like, yeah, it's, I fear all new and different things.
It's fair. That's a fair appraisal of Zoom.
Yeah.
Now.
I draw with ink. I write with my hands.
You write with your hands? Get out of town. How is that?
I'm a 20th century boy. I don't know.
How is writing with hands? I can't remember the last time I don't even think I know how to hold a pencil properly.
Oh, I don't know either. That's why my hands hurt all the damn time. So maybe there is a thing to this technological advancement thing.
Yeah, but there is, like, you have to use your pinchers properly. Your pinchers.
Yeah. The hands turn into pinchers after a while.
Yeah, right. Tell me about it. So you are no longer doing things currently with... Valiant. So, but Kevin says you have a new book coming out through Dark Horse Comics. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's still good. it's called Modern Fantasy.
Okay.
It's with co-creator and artist Kristen Gudsnuck.
Now she's lovely.
Yeah, her stuff on Hench Girl was absolutely amazing. So that's what actually got us starting to work together. She had been handing out copies of Hench Girl at New York Comic Con a few years ago. I managed to get a copy of it and sent like a admiration email, and then started working on Modern Fantasy, which is basically a like modern day Williamsburg, but if the entire world history was Dungeons and Dragons modules, fantasy novels. So you got orcs and goblins going on bad Tinder dates, goblin bistros, young ranger moves to the city dreaming adventure, but gets a dead end data entry job just to pay the bills.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. It sounds amazing. Sounds like my life now.
Yeah.
I found plenty of orcs on Tinder. Plenty of them.
That's all there is. I've seen Tinder.
I've seen it, man. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I've heard of that one. Like the Zoom thing, not so much, but I've heard of Tinder.
All right. All right.
Get him, Rafer. Get him. Right.
That was quick, Kevin. You sold me out really fast to a more successful writer. That was amazing.
I did.
Get him.
Get him.
We'll see what happens when Rafer leaves, dude, because he's gonna leave eventually. Then it's just you and me, bro.
Then I'm in trouble.
So this new book, Modern Fantasy, it's like if Legend of Zelda went horribly wrong and Link is actually just some schlub who lives next door to you.
Kinda, yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, well, or if you were actually like descended from a race of barbarian warrior champions, but through the years, all of those jobs got automated or sent overseas, and now you're sitting there at a call center taking orders for new supplements.
That sounds really interesting. Now, how did you come up with this super fun idea?
Basically, Kristen and I came up with it together. She gave me a writing prompt, which was just magic, which she hadn't done any stories with magic in it before and wanted to do something.
Okay.
And that somehow evolved into what Modern Fantasy is. It's very difficult. I don't even see the through line anymore, and I was there for it. So I'm not... I can't even speak to the evolution. It just went from magic to modern-day Dungeons & Dragons world.
That's, now, I gotta tell you, that's really impressive to do, though, that you took a single word, magic, and turned it into this beautiful fantasy land. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I was also trying to come up with something I wanted to see Kristen draw, too. And I wanted, different monsters and fantasy beasts, but also real world, like human characters, because you got Sage, the ranger girl. There's a dwarf maiden who's awesome. Her name is Gondra, daughter of Mithra. Works she's a waitress at a local small eatery with her co-worker is a elf from the Crystal Kingdoms named Darkwind. He's come to the big city to be an actor, but all he gets are very stereotypical typecast roles in commercials for like Minotaur milk.
Okay.
Which is absolutely disgusting in a fantasy world where the Minotaur is just walking around. There's your neighbor. You get to drink his milk.
Are you doing any art on this as well, or no?
I'm not, at least not for the first arc. And I say that it is just a miniseries at this point.
Okay.
But if people are into it and the sales warrant it, I think everybody involved would love to do more going in the line. And Kristen had the idea of something down the line where she would write a script because she both writes and draws herself and then make me draw something.
Oh,
we'll get to it. Hopefully we get a chance to do that. And hopefully she takes it really easy on me.
Now, see, that's something that I was going to mention earlier. Rafer is a double threat. He can write and draw.
God, you lucky son of a gun. How did you pull that one off?
And yet I still like working with artists who are better than me. So, because drawing is slow. It takes forever. Writing a script, it's got its own challenges, but it is generally faster. So I like that.
We like working with artists who are better than us too. We just happen to like schmooze really well.
it's interesting because both of us write and draw comics. So there really is hardly, there's a lot of back and forth. It does make the discussions and the plotting sessions, and Kristen was doing layouts for the third issue the other day, and just the back and forth text messages for that. It's different. It's different working with somebody else who writes. It takes a lot of pressure off of me because I don't have to be in charge of every aspect of the writing. I don't. If something slips through, Kristen's there to catch it. The editorial is there to catch it too. But I don't know. It's just more fun. It's like bouncing ideas off of people.
It's like playing a game of tennis. Like you're just hitting the ball back and forth and. You know, you can really kind of snowball an idea into something quite wonderful.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Now you said issue 3. How many issues are we looking at for Modern Fantasy, which hit stores on June 27th?
Total of 4.
Okay.
They're all written. Kristen's plugging away, getting it done. And I've the first 2 issues, as of right now, are completely done, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Wow. To the point where I'm laughing at my own jokes again. So
which
that's
is good,
always a good.
Right?
It's always a good sign.
Isn't it wonderful to laugh at your own jokes?
It's been so long since I wrote the script too, so I think that helps, but also, Kristen's art is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and, dude. Yeah. That Hench Girl book took off because she did that through Scout Comics, and then Dark Horse picked it up. So that's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's real testament to how good a cartoonist she is.
Now, is it a lot of pressure? Like you said, it's nice, but like, are you afraid that she's going to write better jokes than you and be like, I don't even need you, Rafer. Like, you're just dead weight at this point, bro. Hit the bricks.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I hope she does. She does like a lot of good background jokes, and like most of the signage that you'll see in the book comes straight from Kristen. She'll ask me some stuff, and I'll basically pitch signage or like restaurant names. I think my favorite one so far is the Deli of the Beast. that's my favorite one that I got in there so far. But no, it's great, and everything that she does with her work on the book, it just makes the book better. And in turn, and then by that law of reciprocity, it makes me look better. So I'll take credit for stuff. I will gladly point out everything that Kristen brought to the book, but no, it just makes the book better. So
now you've also been nominated for an Eisner in the past. Is that not true? It's not true.
No, I've been nominated for Harvey Awards.
Harvey.
And I was in a Harvey Award winning anthology, but that I don't count that.
All right, we got it. Well, no, you should, because you won, right? You said it won. Did you say it won or nominated? I was just trying to yell at our crack research staff, which is really dropping the ball over here today.
Well, I mean, I'll take credit for that. But no, I mean, I did a page for the Dream Another Dream, Locust Moon, Little Nemo anthology.
Okay.
Which had guys like Bill Sienkiewicz, Paul Pope, Dean Haspiel. Like everybody in comics was in that, and that won Eisner Awards.
Okay.
But it didn't win it because of me.
Well, yeah,
I was in it.
Well, that's what I mean, though. I mean, then you pretty much by proxy won an Eisner, right?
Until there's an Eisner Award physically sitting in my house.
Okay.
I did not win an Eisner.
Yeah,
I will gladly say that I was in an Eisner Award-winning anthology.
Yeah, because
I didn't win one.
A World Series team, like the guy who washes the uniforms gets a ring, I think. So, I mean, like, he gets to say, I was part of the Cubs World Championship. That was me. See those clean New jerseys? I did that. So you can say that you did that. Like, you are a part of the team, man.
There's no World Series ring on my finger. There's no Eisner on my shelf.
I mean, I'm sure we could get you one.
If comes the day that I win an Eisner Award, I will never let anybody not know that.
I will wear
that freaking thing around my neck on a chain.
You'll be like the flame of comics. Like,
yeah, I'll just walk around New York Comic Con with that dangling from my neck.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to look at your portfolio here. Oh, don't mind me. That's just the Eisner.
Oh, the Eisner Award's in the way. Oh, I can't get in. You need to see my badge. Oh, it's behind my Eisner.
It's so heavy.
Oh, God. Oh, my neck hurts so bad from carrying around my Eisner Award. Yeah, I'm going to be a real dick if I ever win one.
Dude, why not, man?
Yeah.
You know, even if you're nominated, you should be a real knucklehead about it, too. That would be fun. You know?
That's no different than how I am now, though, honestly.
Not a dick.
No, don't say that. You seem like a quite a nice fellow.
He's super nice.
Even though you won't let us look at your face. Because you're too beautiful.
The only reason I don't want to do that is I am lying flat on my back on my bed, just relaxing. And the angle is like seven chins. So you're not getting my face.
All right, so you're saying it's vanity.
Yes, no, all is vanity. It's I have an image as a very pretty boy to uphold.
Really? Okay, so we've never met in person, so now I can't wait to meet you. I just imagine like a classy Freddie Blassie or something. You're just gonna come strolling down the aisle with a cane and a mirror, somebody holding a mirror for you.
Yeah, just busting the asses of all these pencil neck geeks in my way. That's what
that's That's really wonderful. You have
theme music too.
Yep.
That sounds great, man.
What would it be?
Yeah, what would your theme music be?
Well, well, now I want it to be Pencil Neck Geek, but maybe like the Mr. Bungle cover of it. I think that would be all right.
That would be good. That's yeah. a good choice.
Now, Pencil Neck Geek, wasn't that on the original Rock and Wrestling soundtrack?
It might have been. I know it was on like a 4-song EP that he put out.
Okay.
That, but that was like the big hit off okay. of it. I don't remember the other three.
Because the main song I remember for. Do you remember that wrestling soundtrack that I'm talking about that came out in the 80s?
I think, yeah. It's the one that's got like them all on the cover.
Yeah.
Just sort of like staring up at the camera. It's like a really very like, poorly shot.
They let Nikolai Volkoff sing Cara Mia for some reason. And,
oh, God.
And Hillbilly Jim's was Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy.
I don't think I ever subjected myself to listening to it, but I have seen it.
I remember I was such a WWF fan as a kid that I remember I had that record, and I also had, I don't know if you remember this, Hulk Hogan put out like a little kid's workout video and like barbell set, and I had that as a kid too. I bought it at my parents bought it for me at Herman's Sports, and I had like a Hulk Hogan audio tape that he would tell you how to work out properly, and there were dumbbells and weights and like a headband. It was pretty awesome.
So was like, he calling you brother the whole time?
Yes, he was.
He's like, step one, brother, shoot yourself up with some amphetamines. Down yourself with hydrocortisone steroids.
When you put your steroids in, brother, you gotta put them in your butt.
Oh, God.
Oh, Hogan.
Mommy, where do we keep the syringes? That's good.
This is taking a dark turn for Hulk Hogan's career.
Well, yeah. I mean, Hulk Hogan himself, though, has taken a dark turn.
Yes.
You know, he'd be better off dying young like all the other ones as opposed to just being some crazy old racist.
True.
You know? So, yeah, dude, so you got this thing coming out in June. I hate to do the comic thing, but what else you working on, bro? What else you got?
I'm working on more Nightmare the Rat comics. That's the one I write and draw. It's just a little demon rat breaks into people's apartments, rips the teeth out of their faces, throws them up in the moonlight, dances. He's so got it's for all ages.
Do you keep it next to the steroids?
Yeah, I mean, there's no cursing. It's just a little bit of body horror, but it's funny. It is a comedy.
All right.
He's got a nemesis. It's a morning breathy owl. It's an adorable little owl that poops in people's mouths, defouling the mouth so that Nightmare won't want to steal the teeth.
Interesting.
It's
now what is this book called?
Nightmare the Rat.
Nightmare the Rat. I've never heard of this thing before. You know, part of me doesn't even know if it really exists, but I want it to so badly.
It does.
Well, you should, if you're in front of a computer right now, you can type in nightmaretherat.com and it'll bring up the latest adventure.
All right, Nightmare the Rat, a newspaper collection by Rafer Roberts. I'm looking at your Kickstarter for this, so this is indeed real. Okay, all right. Now, do you do this as, so is this like a webcomic?
Well, it's designed for print just because it's got this early 1900s style aesthetic, which looks really good on a full-size newspaper.
Okay.
So, which is how I print it. It's like a,
it's it like looks a like
16
a paper,
by actually, yeah, it's yeah, like 16 by 20 newspaper.
Really?
Yeah.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, I put it online just for serialization, but it's meant really to be read in print.
Wow, this is really creepy looking. Like, look at that mouse. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm laughing at your face.
Wow,
it's
this is really like that. That dude looks like a world famous mouse. Everyone knows if he had a really bad meth problem. This is really kind of awesome. So you draw and write this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a lot of fun. It scratches a very specific itch in my brain, which is let's just draw some weird shit. That's good.
Now, if I wanted to pick this up in print, where could I do that? Is it on Amazon or something like that?
Nah, basically the only place you can get that is from me.
Okay.
So plasticfarm.com.
All
right. Or there should be a link on nightmaretherat.com to my store as well. And if there isn't, I need to fix that.
Okay. Wow, this thing is pretty intense. I'm looking at Nightmare the Rat and Horse by Rafer Roberts from 2014.
Yeah, that's a good one.
this thing. Now you update this every Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, there's a backlog. I took about a year and a half off of serializing it online. Just, it's a very intensive comic to draw. There's so much cross-hatching. Every page is like 2 pages of actual comics. So yeah, it's just pretty intensive. It's queued up right now till about August.
Okay.
So it'll run at least through August and a little bit longer as I finish up like the last 10 or 15 strips.
Okay. Now let me ask you, like, he's hugging the horse before he takes his teeth. That's real messed up, man. Like, now why
He's got a heart.
Now, why does he want everyone's teeth is what I want to know. Like, I got to know more about this.
You got to keep reading for that.
Okay, that's good. All right.
Actually is a reason.
Okay.
That's the thing that everybody asked me about, and I can't tell them.
Okay.
Because it comes up towards the end.
And the
we'll find out.
All right, and the owl shows up and poops in everybody's mouth, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I knew you would like it.
Wow. I mean, I'm just like, I'm kind of shocked and offended, but I'm like, this sounds really great. Like,
I think that's the intent. Like, you're supposed to be shocked and offended and want more.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going for. I want the ideal experience after finishing Nightmare the Rat is to just sort of sit back, think to yourself, what the hell did I just read?
That's exactly what I'm thinking right now at this very moment.
And then go to the next one.
Like, I'm wondering about you as an individual and a human being, sir. And like, I'm questioning many things about you and your existence. But it sounds really killer.
Yeah.
And what does it say about me as a man that I would be like, this sounds neat. Like now I'm doing some real kind of deep soul searching at this point.
Well, I mean, we can't say much. We wrote about an anthropomorphic metal shark that plays heavy metal. So
this thing is,
I'm not gonna judge you for loving Nightmare the Rat.
I just hope my family doesn't.
He's my child, and I want to share his joyful teeth-stealing gift with the world.
Now, where did the idea from this come from, if you don't mind me asking? Which I'm sure you don't, because you're on a podcast talking about comics.
My God, so many questions. What did I come here for? The third degree. It's basically, there was a old Laurel and Hardy movie, Babes in Toyland, or March of the Wooden Soldiers. It goes by two different names, depending on which bad bootleg you get to watch. It's basically, they're in this nursery rhyme fairy tale land. So you got like the Three Little Pigs, Big Bad Wolf, like Little Miss Muffet. And it's all done in a style that I guess was supposed to be cute and adorable, but in that early 1930s way where it actually is terrifying and scarring.
Okay.
And there's a character, I'm not sure, they took an actual monkey and dressed it up in a mouse costume, but I think the monkey was drunk or the costume was too heavy because it moved as if its head was, it was awful. It looked like it was sick. But I just started, I had been drinking that night, so I kept drawing it in my sketchbook. I was actually pausing the movie so I could draw it. And it was a couple months later, me and a couple guys down in Washington, D.C. started putting out our own newspaper, Magic Bullet, and I needed something for that newspaper. So I just took this weird little rat thing out of my sketchbook, gave him something to do, which was steal people's teeth, and just made a comic around him. And now the challenge is every episode trying to find a new exciting way to have the same exact story of Nightmare the Rat steals somebody's teeth.
Wow. Okay. All right.
So it gets weirder and weirder.
All right.
As I try not to bore myself or the reader.
Okay. All right. So
this is not the only thing he's done like that, though. Isn't there the Darkseid and Thanos car buddies? I can't remember the exact name.
Yeah, Thanos and Darkseid, Carpool Buddies of Doom.
Carpool Buddies of Doom, see?
Now tell me about this then.
It's amazing.
That is a bootleg comic that Justin Jordan and I do occasionally.
Okay.
All came about that Justin and I were just like ran into each other at New York Comic Con one year, and we're discussing the Baltimore Comic Con, which had been a few weeks before. talking about having seen the most awesome Darkseid cosplayer we've ever seen. And then later in the show, seeing the most awesome Thanos cosplayer we've ever seen. And then at the end of the show, watching them walk out together and wondering, huh, where are they going? So Justin had the idea of just putting them in a car and having their adventures, at which point I declared that I was going to be the one who draw that for them.
Okay.
And literally like a week later, the first one went up online. And actually, for all the things I've done in comics, it's the one that probably had the largest impact on my career.
Really?
In that, yeah, it got shared everywhere. Like different websites picked it up. I think Will Wheaton retweeted it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that actually is what got me originally the job at Valiant, because the editor at the time wanted Justin and I to do similar style stories with the Valiant characters for like their anniversary issues.
Okay.
And then I liked working for Valiant, and when the anniversary issues stopped, I sent in like a writing package just as a tryout, and then I got to write some books.
Everybody has a different way in, because I thought that what would happen is you would post something like this and you would immediately get like a cease and desist, but you got into comics that way.
Well, I mean, I was in comics before, just nobody knew who I was.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this so that's kind of like the old adage, like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, doesn't make a sound kind of thing.
Yeah, so Kevin, if you're in,
technically in comics, but I mean,
yeah.
Nobody knows who we are.
So what you got to do is spend 15 years, build up your ability to make comics, and then do like one really popular fan service comic, fan art comic, and then that's it. That's how you get into comics.
Dude, that sounds...
That's how you do it.
It sounds so easy and so quick.
Yeah.
But the comic strip is actually great. Like, I mean, it is really funny.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. The first one was just Thanos and Darkseid. They're talking about coffee. The second one, Justin had us put Dr. Doom in the back seat, and they're talking about TV shows. And then, like a true sadist, he then put, in the third one, all of their kids in the car, so now there's six people in this car. So it's Thanos, Dr. Doom, and Darkseid, Orion, Christoph Doom, and Gamora in the backseat, and trying to draw he's gonna put freaking Galactus in the car next time. I swear to God, I know it. But it is really a lot of fun drawing them, and actually drawing Orion as a snotty, bratty teenager in the backseat was something I didn't realize I wanted to do so bad, but it was a lot of fun.
Now, who's driving the car?
In the first one, it's Darkseid.
Okay.
And he drives a shitty little Volkswagen Jetta.
Ah, okay.
But Thanos picks up. He's got his... big old Mercedes SUV looking thing.
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, because he's fancier.
Okay.
And a joke that I wanted to put in, but I didn't think anybody would get it. The Thanos's SUV is painted yellow, and I wanted to put his name big along the side, because then it would match that helicopter he was flying in that Spidey Super Stories, where he like drops the cosmic cube. So I gave him a personalized license plate instead.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. That's now like, to how much thought went into the cars of Thanos and Darkseid? Like, was
way
it...
too much. Really? Way too much thought. Oh, really? That.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, well, what would they drive?
Now, what were some of the other options for Darkseid?
There was none. He was always going to drive a shitty beat up car.
Okay.
Because he hates life.
Okay.
And that just seems right.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then for Thanos, he's just pushing.
He's a showboat. Yeah, he's a showboat. He wants the biggest, the best.
Okay. It's really like the gauntlet. Like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's got to have bling. It's got to have bling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an SUV because he's in love with death.
That's a good one.
This is very creative. We're learning a lot about Thanos. So when you're going to the movie this year and you see him on screen, just picture him like driving around in a giant Mercedes SUV, and you'll be like, it makes total sense.
Now. That's not hard to do, given the images I've seen of Thanos online. Like, he could be in a giant SUV. With
never know.
My glove, bro. Check out my glove, bro. You have a glove, bro? No, bro.
If he if Thanos gets into a Mercedes at any point during this movie, Disney will be hearing from my lawyers.
Oh, wow. All right. I hope I'm praying it happens.
I'm not, because I have nothing to back up that threat. I'm bluffing. They win.
No, don't do it.
They can have my house.
They can have my house.
What does Dr. Doom drive?
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay.
But I want to try to figure out a way to get that one stupid meme that keeps going around, that photoshopped one where he's with the Submariner and he blows in the horn. And then he's driving the big weird frog monster dragon thing. So I was thinking that would be Doom's car.
I love Doom. I don't know. See,
but there's no room for anybody else on it. So I don't know. I can't figure out how to make that work.
See, the weird part is like Dr. Doom is one of my favorite supervillains of all time, but I can't think about what kind of car he would drive.
Wow, that is a good question. What kind of car would Dr. Doom drive?
He drives like a rocket.
He stole the fantastic car just to be a dick.
Or his car would just be like a larger version of himself. So he'd like drive. The car would just like be like a giant Dr. Doom head, because all things are Doom.
It's true.
Yes,
it's true. Wow, you're a genius, man. You're a genius. I would love just to hang out with you, just to hear what you come up with during the day. Like, this is really fun. I'm thinking so many things at this moment. Like, I'm almost kind of like shell-shocked by just the awesomeness that is your brain. Like, this is really fun.
This is why I told you I had fun at Heroes that year. I was like, yeah, we've been talking all day. It was fun.
Kevin comes back and he's like ranting and raving about you, and I was like, well, let's talk to him. And we finally have, and you're a solid dude, Rafer.
Thanks. I think I am fun in small doses, so I think that's why I'm a good convention friend.
That's what I've always said about myself.
Yeah. Hang out for me for like a few hours over the course of like 3 or 4 days, and you're left with the impression that, yeah, I like that Rafer guy.
I get this.
Now you move in with me for a month, like, I want to kill that motherfucker dead.
Like, I feel the same way about me. Like, I think I'm a fun dude in small doses, but I feel bad for my wife and kids, because like we gotta hang out with this guy all the time. This is terrible.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. How about for ourselves? We have to hang out with ourselves nonstop.
I can't get away from me. I don't have any friends because I'm so aggravating.
But that's not true.
It's really great.
Both of you guys are great.
Aww. Oh, Kev, stop.
Sucks. Right,
so modern romance, modern fantasy comes out on the 27th of June.
Yep.
Are the orders out for that now? Like the pre-order code? Because I just saw it. Oh, you scared them.
Yeah, just hit previews. It's in previews right now.
Okay.
So yeah, you walk into your store, tell them you want modern fantasy. Comes out from Dark Horse, June 27th. Rafer Roberts, Kristen Goodsnuck.
That's really awesome.
Do you have the pre-order code, Bob? You usually do.
Man, come on, Kev. Why are you putting me on the spot? Now I got to find the code. I just found the story on Comic Book News, whatever the Majigger website is.
I saw the art for it when I talked to him at AwesomeCon, and it was great.
The artwork is pretty dope. I mean, it's great. I love her art style. It's really fantastic.
So good.
Yeah, she's got a really great style. It's very cool.
It looked like an orc or something was a teacher, because he had the bottom teeth and he had glasses on.
That's Bakhtar. He is Sage of the Riverlands co-worker. He is the one, Mighty Barbarian, now just working at the call center.
Okay. He looked like a teacher. He looks like a teacher.
He gives me an office space vibe, like boss.
Oh yes.
That's what I got from him.
He's all the cliches, but in barbarian speak.
That's so awesome. Great. I'm trying to find the order code, but I can't find it. What I'll do is I'll make sure I find it. And I'll put it at the end of the podcast so people can pick this up, because this looks like a lot of fun. I'm really excited for this, and I'm really excited for everything else that you're doing, because it's pretty rad, dude.
Yeah, I'm real stoked for modern fantasy. I think people are going to dig it.
Yeah.
Now, if people want to pick up your past work, what other Valiant work have you done? Because I know you've done like Archer and Armstrong, because that was a really cool issue that I read. It was in the Archer and Armstrong. It was the number one trade that you wrote. Like, it was you writing, and I don't remember who did the art. So,
for the first one, yeah, I did 12 issues of A&A, The Adventures of Archer Armstrong.
That's right.
We had the first arc, Dave LaFuente did all the artwork on. Brian Reber on colors, Ryan Wynn on inks. Then the second and third arc, Mike Norton joined the team. He took over Alan Pasalacqua on colors. And Ryan Lee did not full issues, but he came in and did like flashback sequences and some like weird alien world stuff. So I got a chance to work with a lot of really amazing artists on that. And though it only went 12 issues, I feel like we told a pretty concise and complete story. So I was pretty excited about that.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is going to be a little bit about Valiant. I didn't read their stuff as a kid in the 80s when it came out, and all their new stuff came out. And like, how much of the old stuff do I have to know to kind of get into the newer stuff, or does it not matter?
Zero.
Okay. Because it seemed very intimidating, because Valiant had a very loyal and like strong fan base, and they were just kind of like, Valiant forever. And I was like, dude, I don't know, but it looks really neat. So I need to know nothing about Valiant to get into it.
No, absolutely not. And they really pride themselves, and it was something that was hammered pretty hard into me the entire time I was writing, that every issue could be somebody's first issue.
Okay.
So there's ways to very subtly dole out the information required in story without overwhelming somebody with unnecessary information or just huge exposition dumps, that every issue is basically is designed for the new reader in mind, as well as entertaining the current and long time readers as well.
Because
it's harder to do than it looks. It's and actually keep it fresh. So
because you did more than just Archer and Armstrong, you did XO Man of War, right?
I did a one page backup story in XO.
Okay,
that was the one that got the Harvey nom for humor and then. Jody Hauser and I co-wrote 4001 Shadow Man.
Okay.
Derek Robertson and I did a bunch of issues of Harbinger, Renegade.
Right.
Juan Jose Reap was on there as well. It was a lot of fun. And then, Rye, History of the Valiant Universe.
Okay.
So it's basically like a 22-page history book of the entire Valiant universe up to that point.
Wow, that's intense.
Now you did write the were you the first one to write the idea of Archer and Faith getting together? Because I remember that being in one of your trades, but I'm not.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was Mike Norton on art for that one. Issue 5 of A&A is Archer and Faith's first date. Right, however, the idea of them getting together had been seeded before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember that being a big deal when that came out. Because
yeah, I think that idea originally came from Fred Van Lente during his time on Archer Armstrong.
He's great. Then, I like it.
Yeah. Then, he's great. Yeah. Venditti picked it up because during Exo Manowar's wedding, he had Faith and Archer actually meet and get to know each other.
So it was an all Valiant affair at the wedding. Like they all went.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I'm into that. Now, you write a lot of comedy stuff. Do you find it difficult writing comedy?
No, I find it difficult to not write comedy, actually, sometimes. It's hard. Like, with Harbinger, it was such a serious book. That was one of the things I had to keep telling myself, like, this isn't the time for comedy right here. even though all my instincts would say, this would be really funny. But, no, it was... It was difficult trying to find that balance on a much more hardcore, serious book. I think it was a good book. I think I probably could have made it funnier, but I don't know. It's a bunch of superhero kids getting killed, so yeah, it's probably good instincts on my editor's part not to do that.
You gotta pick your battle sometimes.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed working, and I enjoyed working with Derek and Juan and all the editors. It was fun. Awesome. Yeah, and I think at some point I'll probably do another Valiant book. Just not sure what at this point.
Is there anyone that you particularly want to do?
There's a few. I don't... Like, getting to write Rye just in that one shot was a lot of fun, so I'd love to try to explore that world a little bit more of the future of the Valiant Universe. Year 4... Yeah, the 4002 universe. That was that would be cool. I'd like to do something like that. Or I don't know. There was an old Valiant series called Bad Eggs, where it's just a bunch of dinosaurs running around. I don't know how much I would keep from the original, but I don't know. It seems fun.
It's a very fun title. I like the title of it.
Yeah, a bunch of wisecracking dinosaurs.
Maybe they run like a bed and breakfast or something.
With the eggs, yeah.
It sounds like one of those like early 80s comedies with the sassy southern waitress who works there.
it was actually more of a late 90s kind of like a Pauly Shore Bill and Ted style one. So
maybe a marriage of the two, like you could have the sassy southern waitress and then like the stoner cook dude who also works there, and then you know, the dinosaur manager.
I think you guys are coming up with comics right now.
I don't know.
My only hope is that my editor at Valiant is listening to this podcast. Gold. We can it's gold.
Let's get it to him, dude. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, probably dude. Not. He's probably not listening.
Whatever, to dude. I mean, you don't have to piss on our dreams, Kev. I mean, come on, man.
That's my job. That's my job.
That's awesome. Kevin is the anchor that holds us to reality.
Unfortunately.
But you play your part well, sir, so that's all that matters. All right, and Modern Fantasy Numero Uno is coming out June 27th. The code to order that thing from your comic shop is April 180030. Found it because I know how to use the internet. Rafer, thank you so much for coming on, man. You were a wonderful dude. Do you want to plug your Twitter or your whatever social media?
Patreon, anything.
Yeah, sure. I'm basically Plastic Farm on everything. So okay. My Twitter handle is Plastic Farm. My website's plasticfarm.com. I got a Patreon link on my website. I don't know it off the top of my head. I don't know if it's patreon.com/plasticfarm or /Rafer Roberts. I can't remember which one I did on that.
Just go to patreon.com and search. You know what? I'm on Patreon. Let me see here. I'll search Rafer Roberts, see if anything comes up. All right. There it is. Rafer Roberts comic book. It is. There you are. You are creating comic books. And it is Plastic Farm. You're right.
I should have gone with my gut. That's what I thought it was.
You know, always trust your gut, bro.
Yeah. Not mine. Mine wants bad things sometimes.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to shout out the
evil, bro. Mine wanted McDonald's the other day, and I'm still not pooping normally.
Really?
No, it's bad.
Now, what did you get from McDonald's?
Double quarter pounder.
That's your own fault then. That's Russian roulette.
Oh yeah. No, I knew exactly what I was signing up for, but I just wanted it so bad. Every 2 years I gotta have the McDonald's cleanse. So
okay.
It's just
when I go to
and McDonald's, McRib wasn't even back.
McRib. So. I haven't had a McRib since I was a McKid.
Me neither.
Those things are intense. Every time I go to McDonald's, I just get two cheeseburgers and that's it. Because I know that's just enough gross for me.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll satisfy that salted meat craving and maybe not debilitate you for an entire week.
I will say their coffee's decent at best.
It does its job.
You know, like it's a dollar. I mean, it's a dollar, right? Like
it does what it says. It wakes you up.
Like if I have a choice of that or like the sludgy like gas station coffee, I'll drink McDonald's coffee, you know?
Yeah. You know? No, I agree with you on that one.
I like 7-Eleven coffee.
See, we don't have 7-Eleven around here in these parts. And
there's no 7-Eleven in
Cincinnati, Ohio. No, sir.
There's our Wawa?
No, we have no Wawa either.
Wow, you are in the wastelands, brother.
Cincinnati have Tim Hortons? Or is that too far south?
We have a couple Tim Hortons.
Okay.
But yeah, Tim Hortons is pretty good. Their coffee's decent at best. There is a Tim Hortons that me and my son go to. I have a 5-year-old and we go to story time all the time. And the people who work at the Tim Hortons treat us like we're not there and they just talk cash S about all their coworkers.
Oh, good.
And people that come.
That's entertaining.
Yeah, so it's really fun. Like, I got all the hot Tim Hortons gossip. So if you want to know, I'm the guy. Oh, good.
I don't even know what a Tim Hortons is. I've never even heard of one.
It's like a Canadian Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's not bad. Like it's pretty good. They have a pretty mean sausage biscuit if you're in for a sausage biscuit. And the coffee's decent. And I tell you what, Wanda is not covering her shift. She's coming in late and Sally is pissed off.
Beatrice better get her acts together with the Timbits.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a
And can you believe this one lady wanted an egg sandwich with no bread, so they just put it in a bowl? This is the stuff I hear about. It's really great.
Timbits sounds dirty, though.
Timbits are donut holes.
Yeah.
But it just
sounds like munchkins.
Yeah. It sounds like something dirty. It just
yes,
does.
It does.
Can I get some Tim's bits?
Put your Timbits all in my mouth.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Right away, sir.
Well, Rafer, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. You are a class act. Class act.
No problem. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. And get that book, dude. It's coming out, so hit it up. And that was Rafer Roberts, everybody. His book called Modern Fantasy Numero Uno comes out June 27th. You can go to your local comic shop and order that now. April 18-00-30. Get that book from Dark Horse Comics. It looks pretty great, man. Do yourself a favor. Hit that up.
It looks great. It's got Kristen Gudsnick art.
So. She's really good, man. That Hench Girl book, like I said, that was on Scout. And then
it was.
Scout scooped that. I mean, Dark Horse scooped that thing up from Scout and put it out. And now she big time, baby. She working with Rafer Roberts, one of the finest men in comics today.
Oh, no, you get the Dusty Rose for Rafer Roberts.
And it's really fun to hear everybody's stories about how they got in. Like, he was doing comics forever, and they just said, hey, let's make a Thanos and... Thanos
Dark Side
driving a car book, all right, and that's boom, that's really cool.
And people enjoyed it,
so yeah.
It's just one more thing, like what we tell like you guys every time listening, like you never know what's gonna like land with people, so.
Yeah, you never, that's the exact truth, you never know what's gonna happen, so you might as well just put it all out there and see what happens, you know,
and make comics.
Yeah,
make them.
Exactly. Just, I mean, cause I mean, there are some ideas that are just boringly stupid and everyone will hate, but I mean, you never know. Like you never know. Yeah.
It's true. I think that's really true. Especially when you think about, like the comic market today, you could pretty much do just about anything you want to. So,
yeah,
like, I mean, there's books like Shirtless Bear Fighter, which is amazing, but like I think it's an amazing book, but I like dumb things. So,
well, I mean, it's cool because, you know, if it doesn't get picked up by a publisher, there's always Kickstarter that you can go, and there's all kinds of routes to get things into the audience's hands, which is kind of cool, you know.
Right, because you don't need permission anymore. You just make it. Go in, and people think if it's a good idea, they'll fund it, and that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat, man.
We live in an amazing time of many comics.
We do.
And I enjoy a lot of comics, so it's kind of crazy because people are like, oh, do you have a specific kind of comic you like horror comics? I will read, I mean, literally, just about anything. Like, there's not much that I won't put into my brain space as far as comics. You know? I will be like, oh, I'll read that, you know. And most of the time, I read it, and I like about 85% of what I read.
Really? So
there's very little that I'm not like. There's very little I'm like, this is just garbage. Like I've had that happen before, you know. But there's very little that goes that route. But then again, on the flip side of that, there's very little that I go like bonkers for, like when we talk about like the Rosenberg stuff and like, you know, Four Kids Walk Into a Bank or We Can Never Go Home, like that sort of stuff is like rare, like where I'm like, oh shit, this was so good that I wanted to read it again, you know what I mean? But most of the time I'll at least like it and be like, oh, that was really cool. Or the one thing I try and avoid doing is if I meet somebody who did something that I like that I just liked, like telling them that I really, really liked it. Cause if I didn't like it, then it's, or I just thought it was okay, I'm not going to like go out of my way.
No, and so, you shouldn't like go out of your way to tell someone that you like something.
Well, when I really, really like your stuff, I'll hunt you down and like pester you.
That's crazy. So that's weird.
It's not like stalking. I just go in and like be like, dude, this book was so awesome. I freak out. Yeah.
You're freaking me out now.
No, I freak out. I mean, I'm freaking you out, really.
A little bit. You're taking it too far, bro.
I get excited about comics.
I mean, you should, though, because it's fun. Comics should get excited. You should be excited. The worst thing that can happen about a comic book is when somebody goes, yeah, it's all right. Like, how was that? I mean, it was a book. And sometimes it does happen, and that's a real bummer. Like,
it's happened to us. It was really funny. Like, it's been funny. We've been at a table together in West Virginia, at Tricon.
Just anywhere. I mean, how was that?
The funniest thing was somebody at West Virginia read the whole Elvis Adventures number one and was like, it was all right, and walked away. Yeah. Like, read the whole thing and walked away. And then we both laughed.
I had that happen at my daughter's book fair. They have a book fair at school. Like, they have a learning literacy campaign, and I've been asked to come and sell books and hang out and talk to kids about making comics and stuff. And I had this one kid, and I see him all the time too, and it burns deep in my heart. He read the entire Monty trade in front of me, the entire thing. It's three issues. It's like 90 pages worth of content, and read the entire book in front of me. He came over to the table. I was like, hey man, how's it going? Pretty good. He's like, what's this? And I told him, he's like, oh, and read the whole thing and then put it down and looked at me. I was like, so what'd you think? He went, it was all right. And just walked away. That's all he said. And I see him everywhere. But I take solace in the fact that he read the entire thing.
If it wasn't good, he would have just walked away and not read the whole thing.
Maybe so he was just trying to be like a cool fifth grader. Like, it was all
right. Yeah. He was blowing you off because it was the cool thing to do at the book fair.
You know,
like, Like your dad's comic, it's all right.
It's whack, son. It's whack. But I tell you what, though, it stuck with me. I always, every time I see that kid, and I see him all the time, I'm like, that's the kid that read my whole book in front of me and told me it was all right. Just walked away. I wanted to actually use that as a pull quote. It's all right. Fifth grader from Sans Montessori.
Cincinnati. Dude, I would have done it. You should have done it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I get the property back myself, I'll do that. But I don't know how my publisher would have felt about a pull quote saying it's all right. You know what I mean?
That's what I wanted to put on the Oathbound pull quote, but I can't say this guy who's really famous in comics now had read Oathbound, and he said that. Now Bobby heard this story firsthand.
It's really fun.
And he went, and I went, he looked through it and he went, ah. Like that, and handed the pages back to me, and I was like, is that what you think about it? Yeah, pretty much.
Hey man, but you know what, those are that's good feedback sometimes, you know.
It was kind of a meh. He went meh. And I was like, man, I wish I could ask him. If I asked him later if I could quote him on that, and he was like, no, please don't. So that's why I can't tell you who it is, because I'm trying to be nice to the guy about it. But
I know.
Yeah, Bobby was there when it happened, and he laughed when I told him what he. We both laughed.
His name rhymes with Rom Bing.
Just let the cat all out of the bag.
No, I didn't say his name. I said it rhymes with Rom Bing.
Yeah, and it's still the funniest thing that's ever happened to me in comics. Right there, it was like the funniest 5 minutes of my life. He's like, "Hey, can I take a look?" Like, I didn't ask him to look at them. They were underneath my arm, and he was like, "Oh, is that?"
Asked to look and then shut.
And then met me. Yeah, it was great. It was the best because I was holding one of his books for him to sign.
For
someone else back at Heroes and Villains. Like, I actually have his books, but I didn't bring them with me, and it was for someone else. And I was like, "Oh, like, can you throw an autograph on these?" And he was like, "Yeah, sure." So he did it, and he's like, "Is that art you're holding underneath your arm?" I was like, "Yes, it is."
Oh, okay. He probably wanted to see your awesome art, and he got stuck with some whack story. That's why he was all mad.
That's like, you wrote this? Meh.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say meh because you're standing there, but I mean, let's be real.
Needs work, kid.
I mean, I remember when I first put out 41, I sent it to some review pod, and I sent it out to a review pod, and this review podcast spent like 40 minutes talking about how much my book sucked.
Wow.
It was awesome. I listened to the whole thing. I was like, wow, these dudes are killing me. But I mean,
was that the one I was on with Mike? No, I'm kidding.
No, this was the first issue that got, they were just unimpressed. They were not wowed by this thing. And I was like, hey, you know, that was my first dose of like, wow, dude, people are pretty hardcore.
That's pretty brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could find it and let you listen to it, but it was on a Twitter account that I no longer use and all that. And I remember tweeting the link. I'd be like, hey, they talked about my book before I listened to it. I'll never make that mistake again.
I remember expecting to get bad reviews when we first put out the Oathbound comics. I insulated for it, and we didn't really get any terrible.
Dude, Kevin, I got slaughtered. These dudes, I mean, they spent, I mean, 30 minutes just talking about how crappy my book was. And they were just
ruthless. They were ruthless.
They were killing me, dude.
Cold-blooded.
It was intense. That's intense.
Bad. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, I don't care. If it hurt my feelings, I wouldn't have told you about it, would I? No, I wouldn't have said a word about it. They crushed me, dude.
But you still sold the book, and I know people that liked it. So
yeah, I mean, I liked it. I mean, it was fun, but it was definitely like a what's the word I'm looking for?
A learning experience.
Cold-blooded. It was hard. It was hard time blues, baby. I mean, they was ruthless. Here we go. I found it right here. Stingpin is the guy's Twitter handle. I found the. I'm trying to see if I can find the link of where he just crushed me. Because I want you to listen to it. This dude was, he was murderizing.
It was just one dude just crushing your
It was two guys. Like these two guys were talking about, and they were just, it was ruthless.
Gosh.
It was fine. I don't care.
I just find it really weird if when people do that.
Oh, why? I mean, like, I asked for the review. I was like, hey, man, can you review my book? Because I knew they reviewed a bunch of books, like indie books. And when you're trying to get your name out there and you're trying to do some stuff, I mean, you'll go anywhere to get a review, to get somebody to talk about your stuff. And, like, they talked about it, and they were unimpressed, to say the least. But, I mean, you know, it builds character, I guess.
Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
At least you found me.
And they even tweeted, like, hey, we discussed your comic this week, and then they just housed it. Like, so they tagged me. Like, they wanted me to hear it, son.
I find that really funny for some odd reason.
That's ruthless.
They're like, we housed you here, here's our review of us telling you how bad you suck.
Yeah, dude.
That's brutal.
Yes, they said, here's the tweet. It says, @41comic, we discussed your comic this week, and here it is. And then mine was, thanks for the review and the breakdowns. Give me something to think about. Thanks for the help out. They were just ruthless. They just were.
But I would say you handled that well.
I mean, I'm a pro, dude. I mean, it's not the first time I've been dissed. What am I going to say? I'm trying to see if this dude still does his podcast, but I don't see it anywhere.
Apparently, they were too brutal too often.
They were just terrible to me.
What is your goal on your podcast? To review comics. To hear the lamentations of the creators. See them driven before me.
Yeah, that's what kind of happened.
And then they were gone. So that's what happens when you're too brutal.
Yeah, but it was cool, man. Whatever. Whatever, dog. But yeah, dude, so that's the podcast. Thanks for listening. Rafer Roberts was wonderful. And I guess we'll be back next week with more silly fun.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.